You are not Howard Hahn.
Yes, I am.
No, you are Nevin Dentcham.
I'm Howard Hahn.
With your terrifying voice.
It's the rape voice. Dubbed by women, usually.
I was trying not to call it...
I'm just going to get in trouble.
I was trying not to call it your rape voice, but you seem very insistent on calling it that.
Well, it's not my official voice. I think I'm just going to keep digging a hole. I should probably stop.
You should really stop.
Now. Okay.
We've been gone for a while.
Yeah.
We're back.
Who was that guy?
I don't know. I'm glad you chased him out of the recording studio, such as it is.
That's right. That's right. This is a shit ton of vodka.
Well, you are going to drink it.
This is a metric ass
I load. Offered to let you mix it with something, and you said, nope, just vodka in a glass, please.
I didn't mean the entire glass. Oh. As I said, it's a geo-sized beverage.
Well, I'm sorry. But that's what you have to drink then.
All right.
All right. So, now we've been gone for a while.
Yeah.
But we're back, and you know what is also back on TV?
Many, many things.
Our favorite TV show.
Which one?
Deadliest Warrior.
Yes, it is.
Yes.
It's back. It's back. It's even more contrived and white man friendly than ever.
But not this week. Remember, we thought, actually this week it was two brown
it's
people.
It's two brown folk. Yeah, so. Colombians and Somalis.
Yeah.
So. And you know what? To be fair, we kicked the shit out of a lot, us white folk, have kicked the shit out of a lot of Colombians. So to speak, but not a lot of Somalis. They kind of kicked our ass if you've ever seen Black Hawk Down.
And well, what about that the time we fought off the pirates on that boat?
Well, that was one guy.
Yeah.
That was that guy. Or was it? No, I guess, to be fair, we've not publicized our incredible slaughter of Somali pirates, which I don't even think we're killing that many of them. I think we're detaining them.
No.
It's kind of like a police action with warships. It's weird. I kind of want to go back to the good old days when those guys over there are pirates. Uh-huh. You shoot them all. You don't really worry about it.
I guess so.
Yeah, you've got an RPG and an AK-47. Here's a 20mm or a 5-inch cannon.
Yeah.
We're just going to blow your boat up.
Just blow your boat out of the water?
Yeah.
Here's the thing. I don't trust the people that are on that boat to distinguish between, like, random...
regular fishing guy?
Random black fisherman and black pirate.
But I'll put it this way.
Okay.
The discrepancy in firepower is such
uh-huh.
that any NATO or friendly flotilla vessel
mm-hmm.
could just roll up and after one of those little boats and be like, they look like bad guys? Or send the helicopter.
Uh-huh.
Send the helicopter. Be like, they got any weapons? They got weapons? You kill them all.
What if they mistake a fishing rod for a rifle is what I'm saying.
Oops. It's the Gulf of Aden. You can afford to make those mistakes. It's a very important waterway.
I feel like that's the same logic that allows a, you know, NYPD officer to shoot a guy that's holding a wallet.
It might be. I don't know. We should send a MEEF out there. And
why do you
want to
kill brown people? I guess is my question.
I want to kill brown people. I want to kill pirates. I think, if they were all white dudes, if they're all bunching, like, rolling off the Gulf of Florida. Uh-huh. The Gulf of Florida, Jesus Christ. The Gulf of Mexico, and they were a bunch of Gulf of Florida.
Let's just call
a bunch of Alabamans,
let's and
just they
call
were
it the Gulf of Oil, because really that's what we should call it.
So
now.
Bad. Sorry, Reg, but BP is really, really bad right now.
Yeah.
Bad form. Bad form.
I like how people are freaking out that it's an international corporation now, and they're like throwing English muffins at like the BP stations and stuff.
Come on, guys.
When it's
yeah,
over,
with it.
it's over a third owned by American interests.
Yeah, but it is very British. It's called British Petroleum. It's true.
They have that like jackhole CEO that keeps coming out and saying like the most ridiculous shit possible.
He's great.
Like if you were going to write a movie, right, and you were going to say, I want to create some sort of like a comical, like mustache twirling villain CEO that I'm going
to
put in this movie
He's
about an ecological disaster,
it.
Right? Yeah. Like that's who you'd pick.
Kinda.
Like this dude that's like, oh woe is me, my life is disrupted too,
guys.
I want to go back to my mansion.
Yeah,
I'm stuck in this oil field.
That's what I'm saying.
Stop crying.
I feel his pain.
Yeah,
as I, you know me, I'm a big fan of incredible government violence upon corporations. So I would love to see him. Trot it out some more, actually. Make him just the pie man. You throw pies at him. Receivership. His new job is pie man, and everybody gets to throw a pie at him in America.
Okay, that seems fair.
I think it's pretty good.
I wanna get in on that.
It's a pretty good idea, right?
Yeah.
I read today, just a few moments ago.
Uh-huh.
Now, I know you're against capping the well with nukes.
Yes, that is an awful... That is scientifically
Not, you're against it.
This isn't just Howard Hahn, like, speaking out of line.
It's just us here.
By science.
No logic.
By logic and science, that is an awful idea.
Okay, but the Russians do it.
But go on.
Supposedly the Russians do
it.
Just saying. They do it. Why can't we?
Uh-huh.
But the new idea comes out of this guy who used to be kind of an ordnance guy for the Marines.
Uh-huh.
He's like their Captain Wizard. And they're like, we got to solve a problem. Some of his solutions were MRAPs, which were the heavily armored transport trucks that went to Afghanistan and Iraq. And those are good ideas.
He wants to drive a truck into the ocean?
And some of his ideas were like exoskeletons for Marine soldiers.
Uh-huh.
And you're like, what? And orbital strike launchers for Marines all around the world. And you're like, all right, dude.
Wait, he wants to launch the Marines from space?
He wants to make... Well, one of his ideas was to globally project without having to have ships. You just put a bunch of spaceships and you kind of like launch them in a low Earth orbit and then they'd glide in and then they'd land and they'd drop off their Marines in combat. You know, it was just like, it's fucking, you know,
Starship Trooper
action. Yeah. He's like, I'm going to make some Starship Troopers. Anyway, so some good and bad ideas of this guy.
Okay, yeah.
One of his new ideas, and his idea, which I endorse, is take a daisy cutter, or one of the, and I forget the proper name for these bombs, but they're basically like big motherfucking bombs.
Uh-huh.
The biggest conventional weapon bombs that we have. Take it down, over that well, blow it up.
Okay.
And the concussion will just close that motherfucker.
No, that's not how it works.
Well, that's the theory. That's only theory. You haven't tried it. He's really confident.
Okay. I know things don't normally catch fire underwater, but I'm just saying.
It's also green because it consumed its own fuel.
Okay.
It leaves no wreckage.
Here's what's going to happen.
It consumes itself.
Here's what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. It's just going to make an even larger hole.
That's what you think. But what if it collapsed in everything and just sealed up?
I'm pretty sure.
I'll send you the article.
Okay. I'm pretty sure the pseudoscience that you're suggesting.
It's not pseudoscience.
Look,
remember.
I'm sure. Look, remember. If I was playing Oil Spilled, the video game, and this was one of my options, I'd probably take it.
Look, this is a classic way to cap a well. We've all seen There Will Be Blood. And this is how you do it. You roll some fucking dynamite
in. Right, but it's also different conditions when you're underwater and at that depth.
Look, yes, but I'm sure this guy's thought about all of that.
Yeah, I'm sure he has. Why can't we just get more of these Kevin Costner machines? You see BP just bought like 36 of like Kevin Costner's like super water cleaning machines?
What?
Okay. Apparently after...
What?
Okay.
Wait, Kevin Costner?
Yes. Apparently after Waterworld, Kevin Costner became very concerned about what happens when oil gets into water. Okay? He has spent millions of dollars of his own money developing these machines whose sheer purpose is they put them in a spot and they collect the oily water and they use... I forget what the... like a... what's the word I think of? No, it's like
detergent?
Not detergent. It's like what do you call it when things are spinning around?
Yeah, the spin cycle on the dryer.
Yeah, they use that, and it basically rotates around, separates the oil from the water, so you get about like 99% pure water out one end, and all the oil on the other end.
That's pretty great.
And he's been like building these machines just secretly. This is what Kevin
Costner... He is a fucking evil scientist.
And
Batman.
And now BP has bought like 36 of these machines from Kevin Costner so they can put them out in the ocean and try to save the Gulf of Mexico.
A little bit. A little bit of the Gulf. A tiny portion.
Yeah.
Or how big are they?
I don't know. I have no idea.
All right. Okay.
In my mind, they're like enormous.
In my mind, they're the size of Gettysburg, Virginia. Virginia? Sorry, Pennsylvania. They're the size of a small city.
Okay. Well, that'd still be helpful, I think.
Yeah. Anyway. Oh, it's good for Kevin.
I mean, yeah. Kevin Costner's about to get rich.
He's already rich.
Kevin Costner's about to get richer.
Yes, he is. He's like, you know all the petty cash that I spent on these oil cleaning machines that I had a weird hobby for? Now I charge whatever I want, and BP has to pay me.
Pretty much.
And yeah. Kevin Costner! That's true. What do? They refuse to have James Cameron help them.
Yeah.
I'm like, how is James Cameron going to save their bacon anyway?
Look,
he's only got 3D cameras.
Dude, James Cameron knows all about deep water exploration.
Okay? He does. I bet you he'd love the daisy cutter at that depth.
Yeah.
I'm sure he'd love that.
Maybe James Cameron will find us some aliens underwater that will help us fix it.
Save our day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying. All right, let's go back to Deadliest Warrior.
Okay.
We're gonna review the season so far. And you will probably not remember many of these episodes, but...
That we've already... Have I seen these?
We've seen most of them. I think there's only one that we didn't watch, so we'll just skip that one.
Okay? All right.
We had SWAT versus GSG-9.
Yep. I remember that one. GSG-9 got robbed.
GSG-9 got robbed.
As far as I'm concerned. Real world, the counterterrorism unit beats the local slightly good cops any day.
But the local slightly good cops, and I'm just throwing this out there, sure. Okay? I just want you to take this.
Yeah.
Think about it.
Yeah. Are American.
Number one, they're...
Hence, they're whiter than the Germans.
Right. Number two, they have Colin Farrell and Samuel L. Jackson.
Okay.
That's a potent combination.
That's true.
Okay?
But only in the 70s.
No, in modern day.
Was that right? Modern day? Yeah. Was it a remake set in modern day?
Yes, remake set in modern day. Right. This is also the same crew. This is how badass that they are. Mm-hmm. They get to a locked gate, right? And instead of using like their bolt cutters that they had used like two scenes ago to break the lock.
Sure. They kick it? They kick it?
No, they step back and they fire a single bullet at it to bust that lock open.
Yeah.
Right? That's how you know. Sweet. Look, fucking GSG-9. I'm not going to do that.
All I know is that GSG-9 is one of the elite of the elite.
Also, I like the fact that the special weapons killed nobody for either team. Do you remember the special weapon for
no.
SWAT?
No, I don't.
Do you remember the taser shockwave? The most useless special weapon of all time.
Oh, stupid. And it's cool in that it's, oh, look at that. That's a lot of tasers.
Yeah, it was awesome. It has zero lethality.
It's pointless. It's pointless. Again, the rules of the game are, is it white? If it's, all right, number one, is it made by the Western world?
Is it made by white? Is it made by honkies?
Is it honkified? If it's honkified, it got bonus value. Because honkified weapons always go for total damage. They never go for finesse.
It's true.
It's all about what blows up the most. And these guys who, and they, I think it's fair to call them honkies, they just really get excited by explosions. That's
they do.
All they care about. They don't value anything else.
Except how big it goes boom.
Yeah. Is it a bigger explosion? Well, that's going to do more damage. You're right. Yes, you're right. Except for you're an idiot.
All right. Well, anyway, let's stop talking about modern day Deadliest Warriors.
Yes.
Let's go on to the next episode.
Less explosions?
Yeah. Well, okay. First of all, let's agree that GSG-9 probably should have won that.
I mean, I just know. Not that SWAT guys are terrible. Uh-huh. Just GSG-9 is a fucking military level counterterrorism.
The big factor that swung it in SWAT's favor was the LWRC PSD. Had more kills than the H&K G36. They're mid-range guns.
They just... Whatever. I mean, it's... The real world, they don't use just one close quarters weapon.
SWAT also... Do you remember this one where they had like...
They did it faster.
Because Americans are more efficient.
Which is... No... It's fucking there.
USA.
It's a stupid program.
USA.
Anyway, whatever. I like rifles. I prefer the HK G36.
Okay.
The G36K, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like that. The other one was a PDW. It's a point defense weapon. It's really, whatever. Whatever. I don't care. It doesn't matter to me.
Okay.
Obviously.
All right. So moving on. Yes. Attila Hun versus Alexander the Great.
Yeah. I had no dog in this hunt.
This is the one. Okay, first of all, thank you, Deadliest Warrior, for letting a non-white person win, because Attila Hun won this one. Thanks to the awesomeness.
But see, Alexander's gay, so
that's true. That's true.
I'm sure secretly they're like, can't let that guy win.
Well, they also did give Attila Hun a lasso versus the Ziston, which was that lance. Remember that like giant ass lance that he had?
Yeah, which was way more. Well, yeah, you can't kill with a fucking lasso.
Yeah. Apparently you can, because it got 30 kills in the simulation.
It's so weird. Just like, what are they... It's a lasso.
Yep.
Your tests are bad.
I agree. Anyway. And then, the deciding factor, though, that made Attila Hun win was the Hunnic composite bow.
Another thing. The game.
Uh-huh.
The game. It's weighed towards range. The longer range a weapon can shoot, usually coupled with the amount of damage it does, it wins.
Yeah. Well, the Alexander did have the Gastrophides, which was like that giant
but rate of fire. And also rate of fire.
It was rate of fire that ultimately.
Again, anything is whiz bang boom tends to win.
Okay.
And if the Alexander's crossbow of doom, super crossbow of doom, had like shot firebolts that exploded, it would have won. But the horseback. They did it on a horseback.
Yeah.
They did the bow thing on horseback.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
Again, flash. They really like the flash. They're less interested in the actual quality of the thing.
Mm-hmm. All right. The episode that we missed was Jesse James versus Al Capone.
I'm pretty sure I don't care.
I will say Jesse James wins because of his long-range Winchester rifle.
Hmm.
Though, to be fair, Al Capone's long-range weapon was a pineapple bomb.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Again, another reason why... Yeah. Stupid.
This is that seems grossly unfair. We did see, however, Aztec Jaguar versus Zonde Warrior, which was kind of awesome. Do you remember that one?
Yeah, that was the African tribal warrior and yes. The Aztec warrior. Jaguars are pretty fucking cool.
Yeah.
I'm disappointed. Did the Jaguars win?
Nope, Jaguars lost the Zonde Warriors and their fucking insane weapons that had like 56 edges each. Yeah.
The like the weird throwing weapons too, or this, that would constantly hack and slash weird parts of the body.
Yep.
They totally underestimate the awesomeness of what do you call lava rock?
Obsidian.
Obsidian. They totally underestimate the awesome of obsidian. I mean, just that fucking club with the obsidian teeth around it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What guys? You really that, hate on that?
That I think. Got more kills than the Zonde Warrior's mid-range weapon.
Good.
But only 20. But that
only got 20 kills?
Well, no, it got 20 more. It got 319 versus the Makriga's 289. But that weapon did constitute pretty much the majority of the kills for the Jaguars.
And the Jaguars didn't... Oh, whatever. Whatever. Rah. Right. I'm constantly frustrated by these because it's so not actually testing the quality. It would be much more interesting if they tested the weapons and then the tactics... And the capabilities of the individual warrior.
I feel like that's just so impossible to simulate, though. I mean, like...
It becomes esoteric.
The thing is, when they try to simulate, like, the tactical element, right? Mm-hmm. They try to incorporate it by doing stuff like the GSG-9 V-SWAT, like, run through the building and, like, kill people and save hostages simulation, right?
Mm-hmm.
And in theory, that should be a reflection of the tactical training that both of these two groups get, which is going to be... demonstrated through their efficiency of running through this thing and using their weapon to maximum use, right?
These are like based one step up from cardboard cutout hallways, you
right?
Know? Like it's
right.
Not-
no, I agree, but so the thing is, like, how else though can you really like quantify the tactical capabilities of these two squads?
You know what? I'd love to actually see people fight. I would. That would make it better.
You want a gladiator. You want, like, an actual gladiator.
I think they should just fucking have at it.
Okay.
But, you know, aside from having at it, I don't really know how you do that. I don't. But, like Ninja. When Ninja lost, you're like, please.
I mean, the other problem is that it's based on... The computer simulation is based on two people just like running at each other and like basically just throwing all their weapons at each other, right?
Yes.
And as we went into some detail during the Ninja versus Spartan episode,
it just doesn't work that way.
The Ninja wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
Right?
Why? And,
yeah.
He'd wait quietly. He might just dress up like a lady. Who knows? Yeah. And then he's walking by like stab.
And then he'd flip out.
And stab.
Then he'd totally flip out when Spartan wasn't paying attention.
Yeah. It also should be called Deadliest Weapons.
They also gave the Ninja a weapon that, again, like the lasso or like the other fucking thing.
The unkilling egg of blindness.
The egg of blindingness. They need to somehow work in like an assist factor. You know what I mean? For some of these weapons.
Modifiers?
Yeah.
Then those weapons would become ridiculous.
Right.
Ridiculous. The flashbang.
Yeah.
Why would you take a frag grenade and you take a flashbang that makes your gun better?
Right.
It becomes a game. It's such a game. I look at it and I go, it's a game made by 15-year-old boys.
I will say the Deadliest Warrior game for the iPhone is fucking terrible. It is awful.
Because it's for the iPhone, dude.
Look, it's a tower defense game. I've played a lot of tower
defense
games.
It's a tower defense game?
Basically.
What?
Yeah. How do you
tower defense?
Okay, so you can choose various Deadliest Warriors to put on the field in different positions. Right? There are hordes of enemies that are coming from the left-hand side of the screen.
I like this.
Towards your base on the right. Okay. Right? The controls are not very good or precise, so, like, it's hard for me to, like, accurately put down where I want my, like, ninja to go versus where I want my samurai to be.
They don't move?
No, they're like, once you put them down, they're in a stationary position, and each character has, like, a different attack range and attack strength. Right? And you can beef them up. It's a weird tower defense game, but it's just bad. It's just not very fun. They're making a fighting game, apparently, based on the statistics.
The fighting game concept is better. First-person shooter version of this would be cool. But then again, I don't need fucking... You would never make a first-person shooter based off the actual weapons. You'd make it so it'd be balanced.
Right.
Although, I don't know. I'd love to play a game like that where you run around hacking people with fucking Jaguar sticks made from obsidian.
But would that be fun first-person?
Yes.
I feel like that'd suck.
Really good first-person melee combat is a lot of fun, but I've not seen a lot of it.
Okay. All right, what about Nazi Waffen-SS versus the Viet Cong, which was just an overwhelming rout by the Nazis?
I don't know. I don't remember the weapons. The Viet Cong had, like, a lot of makeshift weapons.
Yeah, remember the fucking gave the Nazis a flamethrower, and then they gave the Viet Cong, like, poo stick.
And you're like, really? Really? Because there's no way you're going to be able to, like, quantify the pain and suffering of the poo stick.
Yeah.
Because the whole concept of the poo stick was you wound a man and right. you make him sick.
Okay, so this is what I don't understand, right?
Mm.
During the testing of the long-range weapons, they tested the MP-28 versus the MET-49.
Sure. And both of which are basically submachine guns.
So, here's a summary from Wiki. It was determined that both SMGs performed almost equally in eliminating 3 targets in 30 seconds, resulting in a draw. Yet, when they run the simulation, the MP-28 gets 310 kills, and the MAT gets 177. If in the testing...
Huh.
If the statistics that you're pumping into the program, right, at the end of the... If these tests mean anything...
What are they even taking from this?
Exactly. But if the results are supposed to be what Max Geiger puts into, like, the fucking Matrix computer, right?
I want Max Geiger to never get laid.
And the two weapons have been tested to be essentially identical. Mm-hmm. Why would one get twice as many kills as the other?
By the way, I gotta tell you, the MP28...
Yeah.
Very... It wasn't even fucking used in the war. It was so uncommon. It was the early version.
What gun would you have put in for the Nazis instead of the...
MP-40?
Would that have been significantly better than the MAT?
Well, it was the kind of like the classic German submachine gun.
Uh-huh.
The MP-28 is pre-war. MP-40 is during the war. I don't even recognize the gun. That
German dude, a little too proud that the Nazis won.
He's
really happy about that.
Yeah, they were really happy about that. You know, Sig Heil and all that shit, dude. They were fucking happy.
Although there was that article that I sent you earlier this week about how, like, the German, whatchamacallit?
Oh, yeah. I actually am glad. I want to see countries like Germany and Japan actually... Pacifism in a constitution means that America pays for it. We got to do their dirty work.
Right.
And I'm really quite happy to have Germany and Japan patrol their own fucking oceans. I'm happy with that. And we're like, hey, we have economic interests somewhere else.
Right, but that dude had to step down. He had to step down from position because he basically...
Germany takes it very, very, very seriously.
Right.
And I think that's cute. I think that's really cute. You're like, yeah, we can't talk about how we're doing combat ops in Afghanistan because it might upset people back home.
Uh-huh.
The optics wouldn't be good. Like, really? You know, you guys have the world's best weapons... Kinda. Arguably. Uh-huh. Well, I could go off on a tangent, but I was going to go off on a tangent about how we could procure a lot of fucking German vehicles and gear and be really well equipped and uh-huh. wouldn't have a lot of the problems we have and it'd be cheap as fuck.
Why don't we do that?
Because they're not made in America.
No.
That's why.
That means they're probably shitty, though. No, that's my understanding.
We'll just spend a few hundred million dollars developing a fucking, like... engineering vehicle when Germany did it.
Do you know they spent like $500,000 putting a KFC Pizza Hut in Guantanamo Bay?
Yeah, I'm not surprised. I'm really not surprised.
There's like a
it's so Bushian.
There's a bumper car or not bumper car a go kart track. I'm not even joking. At Guantanamo, there's a go kart track.
I kind of want to go to Guantanamo.
And here's it's wow. Obviously these amenities are obviously not for the prisoners.
No, but what if they were? What if they were? You're like, guess what? You got no rights. We're gonna pee on your crayon.
But
however, occasionally, waterboard, maybe 50 times in a month. However,
go-karts
and fucking Pizza Hut, dude. What do you say? Saeed?
That's like the simultaneously the two like worst parts of American excess like shoved into one place.
It's part of the torture. It's part of the fucking torture. Have another pizza.
Oh, no more chicken.
It's got bacon on it. Eat it.
So horrible. Eat it like this Miley Cyrus CD.
Right. Miley Cyrus. Oh my god, I can't believe they use vaginal juices to torture these people.
I like how you went from Miley Cyrus to vaginal juices, though.
I did, because she's got a vagina.
I don't think she's 18 yet, dude.
I know she has a vagina, though.
I guess so.
I'm not talking about fucking it. I'm talking about periods.
This is some Chris Hansen shit. I'm just saying.
No, it's not. Hardly.
It's going to, like, show up at her house.
Chris Hansen, I am not fucking underage Miley Cyrus. So don't worry about
Chris. Can I just put out there? I really miss that show. I know there was this, like, I know there's this, like, huge societal blowback against that show.
I'm just saying,
why do you feel bad for the pedophiles? That's just my question.
I mean, all they're going... Look, They met some girl online.
No, no, that's not it though. Because he's always like, why did you send a photograph of your penis to this?
They met some girl online. She was 14. And
she's usually younger than that. She's usually like 12 or 13. No. Like, not the actress is of age. They always get like an 18-year-old girl that like looks really, really young. I thought
they were all like, well, why does it make a big difference? It pre-teen or post-teen, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
But it's still anyway, like, the guy, point, the guy point you is, know, he meets a nice girl in the chat rooms and he sends her a copy of his dick. And they decide to meet. And it's fucking Curtis Hanson. I don't really
Chris
have,
Hanson.
Chris Hanson. Hanson. Curtis Hanson. I don't have a problem. I'm comfortable with that.
Right.
I'm kind of like... Well done.
The best,
well
the done, best is Chris. When, like, the dudes show up with, like, the party bag where it's,
with
like,
a dildo.
It's a fucking dildo.
And bring like, some shit, because you know what?
By like, the way, a bottle of, like, schnapps.
My,
and, like,
my question is, how many times did they do that and the dildo was, like, the it item, right? He had to learn that. I'm pretty damn sure he had to learn that that was what you bring when you molest a girl. Right? You bring the dildo because your dick ain't going to cut it. Like, really?
Oh, no.
That was a great line, I thought.
That was a good one.
I'm going to put that on Facebook.
Okay. You should Facebook.
I'm going to hold on. Just wait.
The other thing I love about that show, now we're like talking about other shows, but the other thing I love about that is when the dude shows up that's been on there before. And he walks in, Chris Hansen walks in, he's like,
what?
Oh, you got me again. Here I am, another dildo.
Fuck, what did I say? What was my brilliant line? Damn it. Damn it. Forget my brain. Whatever. It's not that important. It's not Facebook. It's not worthy. It was worthy, but not when I can't remember because you poured me a fucking entire glass of vodka. I probably drank as much vodka as you.
Probably.
But I
you might have actually had more.
I got a long way to go.
All right. Anyway.
Yes.
Let's get back to Deadliest Warrior. We got two more episodes to cover.
All right.
All right. So 15 was Roman Centurion versus Rajput Warrior. Which
Rajput was way impressive. I gotta
Rajput
say.
Was pretty fucking dope, right? Yeah. Also, he had the fucking sword belt.
Sword belt! Which they totally discounted.
Sword belt got, like, I think, like, zero kills or something.
Which is so lame, but it totally should have.
The problem with sword belt, right, was that the dude that was testing out sword belt got, like, winded while he was, like, killing three mannequins.
He wasn't very good.
Yeah, that was the other problem.
He wasn't like the guy who decided, well, he used like the punch knives.
Yeah, the guitar.
And that guy was great. That guy was one of the guys who was brought in to look awesome on the show. And he fucking punched the shit out of the pig or whatever. And then they bring in this tiny little, you know, Bengali, I guess. Is it Bengali?
I don't know. He's a Rajput descendant.
Okay. Tiny little guy
who
dances and takes it. He's very artistic.
Yes.
It was a very artistic use of the weapon. Not a lot of, I'm going to kill.
It's true.
Which, you know, again, white men don't like that. They want to see this guy decapitate the fucking... If he decapitated all three of them
they with a whip belt... That, the whip belt would have gotten like 100 kills.
Yes, it would have been the shit.
Yeah.
But no.
But as it was, fucking punch knives and giant sword got most of the kills.
Mm-hmm.
The fucking Xena Chakram, though, that got 53 kills.
Why do they hate that?
It got more than the fucking Scorpion, the like long range ballistic missile launcher.
Stupid Scorpion. I mean, like, why do you bring a siege weapon to a battle? I'm like, who are they asking?
Yeah.
Use a javelin. I mean, it's fucking.
They did have a javelin. They had the pilum.
They had a javelin and a fucking scorpion. Why did I forget that?
The javelin was what went up against the whip belt, the spear. And that's why the spear got like way more kills because they could throw it at somebody. They could also stabby while you're doing your whip belt dance.
Sure.
Whip belt though, fucking rad.
It's or very like cool.
Fucking sword belt.
Yeah, man. Sword belt, sword whip. Actually, probably whatever
it was. All right.
It was awesome.
Anyway, I think we can agree the right team won that one.
Who won that one?
The fucking Rajput Warriors, dude.
I'm glad. The brown guy won.
Ran roughshod over the fucking Centurions. You know, I will say we did accuse them of being like very pro honky at the beginning of the show,
and then they've apparently listened to us.
Yeah,
and they've corrected that.
Yes. Okay. So that takes us to last night's episode. Which was Somali Pirates versus the Medellin Cartel.
Yeah, and I'm glad the Pirates won.
Pirates did win. I was very worried.
They have a fucking RPG.
Yes.
And as cool as the explosive of the car bomb was, it's completely useless in combat.
Yes.
They don't really think ahead about how you might actually use the weapon.
The weapons, looking at the kill counter, were fairly closely matched. Like, the AK-47 only got 20 more kills than the Uzi. And
interesting, because again, in what context?
And then the PMK machine gun got 50 more kills than the M60.
Again, they're basically interchangeable. Those two are actually basically interchangeable, although the M60 is much more accurate.
Though the M60 did jam twice during the simulation.
I don't fucking care. You know, like, I just don't find that an eminent.
That's enough time to fire a fucking RPG at somebody. By the way, the fucking simulation they ran for that, fucking glorious. When they had the guy...
Oh, they had him, like, go in the corner and
he gets blown up by the RPG? That was the only way it should have ended. It was either that or Grappling Hook needed to kill
Grappling Hook would have been the best ending.
Grappling Hook got 8 kills. First of all, what the fuck? You're going to give the pirates a grappling hook versus a machete? I'm pretty sure pirates carry machetes, too. I'm just saying.
Yeah, but it's not unique.
I guess so.
Grappling hook of uniqueness.
I did like when they were testing the AK versus the Mini Uzi. The simulation for the Mini Uzi was they had two guys on a motorcycle. first, they set this up. They're like, this shit's going to be mad dangerous. So we have to get two professional stuntmen, or whatever the fuck these guys are, and put them, like, in all kinds of gear on this motorcycle. And then you're like, whoa, what the fuck is going to happen? Is there going to be, like, another motorcycle with, like, a dummy on it? Like, what the fuck is going to happen? And then all that happens is...
drive up to a car.
Two dudes on the same dirt bike. They fucking drive up next to a car. Stop. The dude on the back lets out with the Uzi, and then they drive away.
Yeah.
You needed
which is how they roll.
Right. But couldn't you really have accomplished the exact same thing by just having someone walk up to the car and empty the Uzi?
However, but it's not what they do in... this season, they've done a lot more in-context tests.
I'm just saying that the context of that test doesn't change anything.
I agree, but for the again, they like their whiz bang pop.
It's true.
They want to have it fucking happen in context.
But the context for AK-47, fucking awesome. Great.
Yeah, that was actually a test of skill.
Yeah,
and I was very impressed by that. That guy's accuracy was really good, and he was excellent.
I like how when they're talking shit afterwards, right? The other thing they've done this season is they kind of like ratchet down the shit talk a little bit. There used to be a lot
disappointed.
More
but last the previous season was much more. The difference between the weapons was smaller.
Yeah.
The shit talk was more important.
Yeah. But afterwards, the Melon Cartel guys were like trying to talk shit to the Somali dude. And he's like, I shot my targets from a fucking boat.
Yes.
Go fuck yourselves.
Yes, he did. A moving boat.
A moving boat. And he fucking killed everybody.
And he did very, very well. Yes. He's very accurate. He's an excellent marksman.
In the end, I'm glad the Somali pirates won. Because I feel like it's the accurate decision. All right, Nevin, let's run down what we have ahead of us this
God,
season.
God, I've been drinking a lot of vodka.
All right, Persian Immortal versus Celt.
Persian Immortal better win.
Okay.
Although, again, no, going on the white guy, white guy-ness of it, Celt probably have a very, very, very big sword and will chop something in, you know, amazing
What else will the Celt have?
I have no idea.
From what I can tell from this documentary I watched called 300...
Yeah.
The Persian Immortals are like these crazy ninjas with
super heavy armor.
Yeah.
Or then the one masks?
They have crazy freaky metal masks and they're like ninjas that get stabbed by naked dudes. So my money's on Kelt.
Again, I go with white guy. My default is white guy.
I'm pretty Who's sure whitest? that's a documentary, that movie that I saw.
Yeah, so I'm pretty sure Kelt will win.
Okay.
And I'm damn sure there'll be a double handed claymore of some kind.
What other weapons will Kelt get?
I don't know. Maybe a fucking round shield with a spike on the top.
Can he kick dudes like Sheamus? Probably. Like he had like the Sheamus bicycle kick.
I think he can kick dudes. I don't know what slingshot. Maybe a slingshot or a sling.
Okay.
Excuse me. Do you know what a sling is? It's like a stick with a sling on the end. Might do that.
Didn't they have that for one of the Jaguar had that shit.
No, the Jaguar had the atlatl.
Oh, the atlatl. Yeah.
And the atlatl is an awesome weapon, and they got fucking robbed. They got robbed. That's because
he wasn't very accurate with the atlatl.
Yeah, he was. Dude, the atlatl was the original.
Not as fucking accurate as fucking death.
Atlatl.
Disc guy. I forget what the fuck that thing was.
The atlatl was the original, was mankind's original mechanization.
Listen, I give that credit to the atlatl.
Awesome.
But I'm saying the dude that was throwing the atlatl, not as accurate as the dude throwing the fucking throwing blades. Where the fuck it was.
Got robbed.
All right.
Atlatl, man. Anytime there's an atlatl in anything, win. Just win.
I'm going to go back up, and we're going to look at how many kills the atlatl got. Atlatl got 86 kills. It just barely got more kills than the Boto and Pima.
All right. What was the Boto and Pima?
The Boto and Pima was a bow and arrow.
All right, good.
It did get, it got half as many, almost half as many kills as the Kapinga, which was the fucking, the throwing blade thing that they had.
Oh, no. I'm a big fan of the Atlatl.
I know. All right. KGB versus CIA.
How do you even, like, your computer has it too now.
Is it? Is that coming from my computer?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. All right. Anyway.
See? My computer's not guilty.
It's true. Anyway. Did you switch computers with me when I was in the...
No. You would notice. I don't even, I can't even begin to think of what they'll make, what weapons they'll give them.
Okay. What about, like, let's just go CIA. We got, I feel like we have to root for the home team.
CIA?
Yeah.
Versus right, KGB? Fine. Yeah. I mean, I mean,
look, they're godless Ruskies, right? Like,
but they're probably going to do really unique and freaky. I guess it might be like a freaky weapon off. Like, uh-huh. Who's got the weirdest weapon? So there'll be umbrella with like poison in the tip. Like penknife, maybe. I don't know. I don't know what else. Like bottle cell phone bomb?
Bottle of vodka?
Molotov cocktail? Yeah. Probably not. Probably not that.
All right. What about Vlad the Impaler versus Sun Tzu?
Vlad the Impaler.
Is that because he's a vampire?
He's white. He's white.
Is it because he's an immortal vampire?
He's an immortal vampire, and he's white. That would and be... he impales people through their ass out their mouth. But that's why.
Sun Tzu is a master of the art of war, which means that...
But what, he wasn't a warrior. He was a general.
It means that Wesley Snipes is on his side.
Oh my God. That does mean he's got Wesley Snipes
dude,
on his side.
Dude, and that means that he has Blade, which means that he's going to beat the vampire.
Oh my God.
I'm just saying, think about it. Think about it.
I don't know.
All right. Ming warrior versus musketeer.
Musketeer. Oh, wait. But Ming warriors will have gunpowder.
That's what I'm saying.
Interesting.
Always bet on yellow.
I would, again, I'd still bet on white guy. So I'm going to go with musketeer.
Okay.
Because he'll have rapier.
Uh-huh.
rapier musketeer. Rapier
would you,
musketeer.
Would you call him a rapier ape?
I'd call him the rapiest musketeer. For sure. So the rapiest musk. Fuck. Shit. I've been drinking. The rapiest musketeer. I can't pronounce musketeer. I can. So rapier plus musketeer plus.
I really hope there's no rapiest musketeer.
Probably not a rapiest musketeer. I don't think that'd be very good at all. I don't want to go with the rest of that line because it ends up being homosexual. But in any event, yes, I'm pretty damn sure. Poor Chinaman's gonna get fucking killed.
Whatever, I'm rooting for Ming Warrior.
You root for that Ming Warrior. But...
you know what his special weapon's gonna be? It's gonna be like fireworks.
Fireworks.
It's gonna be, or like,
God.
I don't know. Like Jade Statue. All right, what about Comanche versus Mongol?
I wanna go with the Mongol.
Okay.
I mean, the Mongol, horseback.
Right.
He has the Sult, which is a spear. He's uh-huh. got the recurved bow, so he's got a long-range
right.
bow weapon. And he's got a curved sword, which I forget the name of. This I know because I like Mongols.
It's true.
And I don't know what else they'd have. They drank horse's blood, fermented horse's blood with mare's milk.
I want to see the Mongol representative. That's what I'm interested to see.
I'm pretty sure the Mongols should win that. The Comanche is going to have, like, tomahawk and, uh-huh. and, like, you know, bow and arrow. I'm like, fuck that guy.
Okay. Last episode of season is going to be Navy SEALs versus Israeli Commando.
Israeli Commando.
Now, to be fair...
Actually, it, to you know fair, what?
I just want to put this in your mind. The Navy SEALs are not going to be protesters on a flotilla.
Hey.
And when the Israeli Commando special weapon is paintball gun, I'm pretty sure that's not going to be very effective.
This fucking paintball gun, that'd be hilarious. That would be hilarious. I mean, those are actually that is a legit rivalry. You can okay. be like Navy SEAL is awesome, and Israeli IDF commandos should be fucking amazing.
Uh-huh.
And the weapons will be I don't know what they'll be. I imagine it'll be M4 versus Galili,
uh-huh.
and or Galil. I don't know pronounce it.
Whatever that is,
they'll be their weapons are functionally the exact same.
Okay. All right. Well, that'll be. I think there might be some interesting shit talk in that one.
That one should be good. I mean, again, don't fuck with Israelis when it comes to guns. They uh-huh. will win. Usually. Usually Israelis win because they just don't fucking care. They don't care anymore.
Okay.
They're just going to win. Protester?
Uh-huh.
Bullet in the head.
Bullet in the head.
You're going to stab me with a bottle? Bullet in the head. And I'm with them on that.
Okay.
I'm a big fan of that.
All right. Well, on that slightly disturbing note, let's mm-hmm. take a break. And when we come back, we'll talk about some video games.
Sweet.
Our power is your addiction. We'll leave you speechless without no diction. And that's the truth. It ain't no fiction. We on a mission. We'll leave the boys fishing.
And we're back.
Hey.
We actually had a break.
We did. We watched video.
We watched some video. We got ready for the second half.
And I sent text messages that were completely polite.
Good job, Nevin. That means that you sent text messages that were not polite.
It's actually not true. They actually were very polite.
Okay.
I'm a gentleman.
You are a liar.
No.
All right.
My last message was, El Torito is my pick.
Okay. Let's start with the greatest game of all my life.
What game would that be?
Warriors of Elysia.
Oh, my God.
A.K.A. Bikini Karate Babes 2.
God.
Okay. Nevin, I'm going to put the trailer in the show notes.
Yeah, you should.
Right? But
you
get a lot of hits. But for people that have not watched this yet, okay, I want you to describe this game to them so that they will go immediately and watch this video to experience the awesomeness.
Young women.
Okay.
Having fun together.
Okay, that kind of explains it.
Yeah. But you know what? You want people to go and check it out right away.
Right. But I want you to entertain our
listeners. Punching each other. Punching each other. Kicking each other.
Uh-huh.
They're spreading their legs in each other's face and they're throwing each other down. They're grabbing arms and twisting them until they seem to break. All in bikinis.
Uh-huh. Your theory is that they probably had an awesome time.
It's very exploitive on a 13-year-old
level. Well, let's also explain that rather than using like graphics, traditional graphics.
All live. It's like motion capture. It's all motion capture.
Yeah. It's like these live action models that they've inserted into computer backgrounds.
Which is, I approve. Because it looks like they're actually having fun.
See, I don't know if they're having a good time making this game. I think they're just like, this is...
How could you not?
Because I'm dressed in a bikini.
You're dressed in bikini, but you're being asked to do something ridiculous.
You know that they're not actually fighting another person when they're shooting this footage.
Yeah. They're just dressed in bikini doing really goofy, funny moves and having to act like it's serious. And I gotta tell you, I'm pretty damn sure the girls out there would find that fun.
But if you wanted to be an actress, right?
This is not your high watermark as an actress.
Right.
What this is a lot of fun and you get a paycheck.
Uh-huh.
That's what it is. It's better than going to do like the tits show in an NC-17 movie. And it's better than being the blowjob girl at, you know, for some fucking like fluffer film.
Uh-huh.
It's
fluffer.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. It's not acting, but it's fun. It looks like to me the kind of thing that you could get almost any girl to do.
That's an interesting proposition.
I'd be like, look, if we paid you $1,000 a day,
would you star?
Or maybe what would be Guildman? Maybe $450 a day.
Okay.
$450 for a day, an 8-hour work day.
Uh-huh.
You in a bikini, plus all the craft services you can eat. And
but remember, you're in a bikini.
You're in a bikini.
Don't get fat.
And we're gonna just make you do a bunch of martial arts moves, as if you're doing them against real people. And you got to get really serious and really into it, and really like yell and scream and make faces. And but you have to be committed to the action. But you're in a bikini. I'm pretty sure you could get just about any girl we know to do that.
I think that we should test this theory.
All right, you got to come at it with a good, fun attitude. You can't come at it with like you're gonna get exploited.
It's going to be a good time.
It'll be you and 20 other women, all the individually motion captured.
We'll make the straight-to-video film, Bikini Karate Babes 3. We'll make the sequel.
I bet you'd be surprised.
We're going to find out. This is our new task. As soon as people send us money so that we can hire these women.
All right. What money do I need to pony up?
Apparently we need to pay them $450 a day.
I'm not going to pay them anything. Because I'm not going to actually pay for this.
You're going to pay them in Nevin dollars.
I'm going to pay them in kindness. I guess.
Right. Well, Nevin, you know what you will have to pay for, though?
What?
If you want to play games online with either EA or THQ.
Fuck those guys.
So
I don't.
Their new system is they have this thing called Online Pass, which is when you buy a new game, like a new copy of Tiger Woods, for example.
Oh, hey.
It comes with
I'm going to do that.
It comes with a code that you enter online.
Okay.
Like on via Xbox.
All right.
And once you do that, you can play other people online.
Okay.
But if you were to say buy a used copy of Tiger Woods,
you got to buy another.
You have to buy the code.
Fuck these guys! Fuck these guys, man! Why are they such fucking assholes?
Because they want money.
They want to get paid on every sale of their game. They can suck my dick. Suck my dick.
Would this stop you?
I'm gonna beat them in the face with my dick.
Would this stop you from buying the next iteration of FIFA?
Yeah, probably. Not that I've bought an iteration of FIFA, by the way. But, I mean...
Well, let me ask you this. How often when you buy games, how often do you buy them used?
I buy only games PC.
Right.
But so I don't buy any used games because it's very hard to get PC games.
So this wouldn't affect you at all, though.
No, because I buy all my shit on PC.
Uh-huh.
However, the market for console games, it's a physical fucking disc.
Yeah.
Fuck you. You've made your money on it. You've made your fucking money. It's just disgusting. It's disgusting. And like you it's like, should Toyota get a residual when I sell my Toyota to somebody else? No! I bought the car! I own the fucking car! I'm selling it.
It's true.
How dare they do that?
The argument that they raise is that it costs some money to maintain the online infrastructure for these games, right?
Not to that degree.
Well, that's true, number one. But number two, my other point is that has nothing to do with whether or not the game is resold. Because here's the thing. If you bought Tiger Woods and you just kept playing it forever, that would be cost X.
Sure, right? Sure.
If you buy Tiger Woods, play it for 6 months.
Give it to somebody else.
Give it to somebody else. And then they...
cost them no more.
It costs no more than if you had just kept playing it forever.
They are completely blowing smoke up America's ass.
Yeah.
And I hope they go out of business. All of them. All those guys are going to do that. I hope they all go out of business. They won't.
Now, here's the other argument.
What they're trying to do is... what they will do is kill the market for used games.
I mean, it's weird because, like, GameStop actually doesn't seem upset. Like, they're excited at the opportunity to sell, like,
online sure pass cards in the store and stuff. That's really interesting.
But here's the other question. There's a lot of EA games that recently have had their servers turned off online.
For what reason?
Just because they're old sports games. You know, it's like NBA 2002 or whatever, right? It's games that people don't play anymore, right?
Okay.
So if you were to buy a used copy of that today, you basically would have half the functionality missing, right? What if the existence of this program, right, basically ensures that in the future, all these games will still have their server support?
Zero added value. Because you're going to buy FIFA 11 in 2010.
Yeah.
And you're probably going to buy FIFA, maybe FIFA 13 in 2012. So 2 years. Maybe you'll give it 2 years. Probably going to buy it every year, which is what they want anyway. So I really don't see how this adds any value at all other than a cost. It reminds me of what my recent thing that got me really angry, even though it's probably small potatoes. The Sprint is going to bring out their 4G phone, the HTC Evo.
You were super excited about Sprint. You're like, fuck you, Apple.
I was like, well, I'm not going to buy Apple. I'm not gonna take the deal for the new iPhone 4. I'm not going to be with AT&T.
Can I have your deal for iPhone 4? Actually, it's cost me the same.
It's free.
Is it free?
We should check. Actually.
We should just trade phone accounts.
We should just check. But I think the upgrade to the iPhone 4
is free so long as
you're already signed up.
And you'd be grandfathered into the unlimited data plan.
I don't want AT&T's price is so much more expensive.
Let's just totally just trade phones.
We can talk about that, but AT&T's price is so much more expensive than Sprint's. Even with the surcharge they're going to put on their 4G phone.
Yeah.
But basically, the Sprint is going to be like, hey, here's this hot new phone, and we're going to charge you a lease fee per month of $10 for the processor
monitor. I sent you the article on this, and apparently when people have tried to get an answer for what that $10 charge is, it just changes.
It's hardware. It's basically, the basic answer is hardware. It's sold as a software price, as a service price.
Right.
We're going to provide you 4G. And you're like, well, I don't live in an area with 4G, so I don't want it. Well, you're also paying for the hardware. You're paying for the enhanced processor and the pretty screen.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, no. I would rather, frankly, if really what it is, it's not the price. It's got nothing to do with the price.
Uh-huh.
It's that they are completely lying about what I get.
Well, they're doing it because they can, basically.
Well,
because they know it's the hot shit, and
they think it's the hot shit, but they got fucked by Apple in the ass. So I got to tell you, Apple, I'm really impressed by AT&T and Apple by what they just did. So they're going to give away, and it's a move of desperation because they see Androids, they see the Google software-based phones taking over the market and ultimately killing iPhone because it's only on AT&T, and AT&T is shit. A multimedia phone in AT&T is really, really bad in the cities where it matters. But they decided they're going to drop it by $5 per month for a regular data plan, which for me, I get offended about, but most people will probably be fine with.
Yeah.
So it'll look like it's cheaper.
Uh-huh.
And then they're going to bring out their hot new phone right in the face of the release of the hot new phone from Sprint.
Right.
And it's the Apple phones always look better, at least on paper.
Yeah.
They always sell them better. And so it's gonna look cheaper. Mm-hmm. And for customers who are all about the Switch. I mean, everybody like me.
Yeah.
We're all about the Switch. We're all about be like, you know, fuck Apple, fuck AT&T. They are so much more expensive compared to Sprint and other carriers, and their phones are not nearly as good because they're slow. I look at my phone, I compare it to Evan's phone, and the new Android software is just ridiculously fast.
Mm-hmm.
Just so fast. And AT&T in New York, for example, doesn't work.
Uh-huh.
I can't get on 3G. I can't. And you're paying for it.
Right.
I can't. It's just...
How is 3G in Los Angeles?
It's okay. It's not that good. When my phone works, it works best on wireless by far, which basically tells me why am I paying for the 3G? Why am I paying an extra $10 compared to the Edge price that was set by the original iPhone?
Mm-hmm.
In any event, so Sprint is going to charge $10 per month in addition to their $69.99 all-inclusive fee.
Okay.
Sprint's price is fantastic. $69.99 for unlimited data, texting, and I forget the phone usage, but it's good.
Uh-huh.
Then they add a $10 fee. I'd rather they just be like, the unlimited plan for this phone
is $79.99.
Because it's 4G. Uh-huh. And you know what? People would buy that bullshit. But instead...
But then you'd still run into a problem where some people are saying, I don't live in an area with 4G.
That's fine. And then what you should be able to do is waive it. I deactivate the 4G function in my phone. Which supposedly you can do in the store, but when you get the bill, you get the bill anyway.
Yeah.
Fuck you. Fuck you. So I might go. I'm gonna look seriously at everybody else and be like, "What else is there?"
You know, I have to say, I really like T-Mobile. Their service, their coverage is not the best. But
try driving down the 10
uh-huh.
with an iPhone and be on the phone. I get dropped calls all over that freeway. It's fucking the 10 freeway and out the heart of LA from the west side to downtown. I will be rolling by Robert. I'll be rolling to Robertson, and I'll be talking to my folks, and it'll drop as soon as I get to there. And I'm like, I know it's gonna drop, but fuck, really? And it's 120 a month. You know, 110, 120.
It's 120 a month.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus.
For the data costs, the buried data cost is sure it's $30 a month for unlimited data. Texting costs extra.
How much is texting?
Unlimited texting is $20 a month. So really, unlimited data is $50 a month.
Damn.
That's really the way it is. So AT&T is already charging me
$50 a month. When you send an IM data, with that, it triggers it as a text, right?
No, IMs are triggered as data. But good luck, good luck actually,
right.
Sure, you can send an IM. Most people probably communicate to you via text or phone calls. And I have a nationwide phone plan. So nationwide phone plans, I got a low-end one. So I think it's $39.99.
Uh-huh.
So 50 plus $39.99.
How many minutes?
I don't know. It's small, 400.
Wow.
And because I dropped it because I'm like, I'm not using it for phone calls as much as I use it for data, which is why they price it the way they price it, where the data costs are way more than the phone cost.
Yeah.
And then tax and fees get me up to right about 110-ish. And then any, extras or overages or additional fucking weirdness, I'm about 110. 105 to 120 is my range per month.
That's fucking nutty.
Sprint
dude.
Would put me right about 80, including tax and fees.
Yeah, I know I don't get data, but I pay $50 a month.
Mm-hmm. Add 30 to that.
Unlimited calls, unlimited text.
Yeah, add 30 to that for the data, and that would be probably what you pay for almost anywhere else. Sprint is by far the cheapest. That's why I want to go to Sprint.
And Sprint has the worst customer satisfaction of the entire industry, though. Just keep that in mind.
I don't give a fuck. I don't really care. I want my phone. Just all I care.
Imagine being less satisfied than you are now. That's all I'm saying.
We'll find out.
Yeah. All right. Well, speaking of things that you're not satisfied by, Nevin.
Yeah.
If I remember correctly. You were not very happy about the fact that Modern Warfare 2 did not have dedicated servers.
Yes.
I have some good news for you.
Yeah, the new version of Modern Warfare from
Treyarch will have... Black Ops will have dedicated servers.
Because they know, don't fuck with the customer.
Now, apparently though, not fucking with the customer apparently had zero effect on their sales for Modern Warfare 2.
Did even, what? Yeah, well that's because they're Modern Warfare 2.
Right.
And so, they're like, hey, guess what?
Yeah.
Well...
So, I know you threw your PC in the garbage can.
I literally took it to the trash.
Right. But if you were to have a PC,
sure.
Would this make you buy Black Ops?
I'm so burned out on Modern Warfare because of Modern Warfare 2. I probably will never buy another version of that game.
But aren't you excited to potentially go into a world where you can, like, jump 50 feet in the air and just shoot grenades down on people?
That's not what I liked about dedicated servers. I liked about dedicated servers was knowing the ping, knowing the player count, knowing where it's located, and knowing what mods they had. And then building community based around particular servers. I mean, there's a huge difference. I love PC gaming for that. The ability to log into a server and you get to know the people who play there. It's great. You can't do that on consoles. You never get to know any of these fuckers. You're just randomly assigned over and over and over. It's like fucking speed dating on crack.
But you can make friends. Remember, remember when we made friends with Super Wild Master?
Yes, I do.
He was a little boy.
Yes, I
do. But we kept calling him a girl.
Yes, I do. And look, I enjoy Modern Warfare 2. I've had fun playing that game.
As loath as you are to admit it, you enjoyed your time with it.
I would not have paid money to have the pleasure I've had out of that game,
though. Luckily for you, I did.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that. But you buy almost any fucking game.
That's probably true.
You'd buy, like, Princess of Persia, you know?
That actually sounds really appealing. But I will say I did not buy the latest Prince of Persia. Time.
Because it's got Jake Gyllenhaal in that shit, and you're like, no.
I don't need to play Prince of Caucasia.
Right?
Yeah.
But he could be a Persian Jew, in which case he looks very white.
That's true. All right, so here's my question. If you had dedicated servers.
Sure.
Do you run a larger risk of people cheating?
Yes. However, in context, no. Uh-huh. Yes, people can come in and hack a server, and you know what happens? They get booted.
Okay.
Like that.
The reason I bring this up is that there's a new service called Titan Gaming Incorporated.
Uh-huh.
Which is a service that will allow you to wager on the results of an online contest.
Sure.
Will the use of dedicated servers kind of, like, fuck this company over?
Not at all. They'll be way better with dedicated servers. One of the things I learned from StarCraft, from my StarCraft days, was the dedicated server was how you ensured that no one cheated. Because what you do is you invite the players to private games, and if they cheat, the game is void. You go, it's not ranked now. You just, you know, I can remember my roommate who was very highly ranked. The way that he would play people is that they'd have an officiator start a game and be an observer character. And then they'd get assigned to a certain place in the map, and the game would start, and the observer character could see everything and would be recording the game.
Okay.
That guaranteed that any shenanigans would be recorded. And he'd made a bet in the game, and there were shenanigans, such as some guy fucking, you know, jumping 80 feet in the air.
Right.
Guess what? He loses the bet. I'm sure there's forfeiture for cheating. And if there's a third party who's a party of authority who's been given in advance the arbitration rights to say this guy cheated,
right,
and has a recording of it, usually in dedicated servers, you can certainly record all of the action if you wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
They're great. They're so much better. They also become authoritative. I would go to certain servers because I know the game is going to be good there. Uh-huh. I know that players there, if they fuck around, they get booted. If they are good people, they have fun, they have a cool mod, they have really cool admins who will talk to you. Like, yeah, that's the way you should play.
Mm-hmm.
None of this Modern Warfare on fucking console where you just get randomly assigned. It's fucking speed dating. It's speed dating.
Why are you so opposed to speed dating?
Because it's stupid. I know that Chris met his wife that way, but beside the point, that was at church, and that's why it worked.
What if we do like a fix it in post special report?
Yes.
And we make you go speed dating.
I've done speed dating.
We make you go speed dating again, and then we tape a show immediately afterwards.
It's gonna be terrible. It's a dumb. You know what it is? It's contrived.
I think we should gauge the audience, and I think our listeners should tell us. The listeners should tell us whether or not they want Nevin to go speed dating.
I know 8-minute dating I'm still like getting emails from those fuckers.
We'll find a new one. Fuck that place. We're gonna find a new one, and we're gonna send you speed dating. If you would like to see this, if you'd like to hear this.
Hey, everybody. Would you like to make Nevin do something he doesn't want to do?
Like I did earlier today.
What did I do today that I didn't want
to
do?
When we were driving in the car.
Oh, that was... I didn't have a choice.
Greatest moment of all time.
I should have just been like, hey, baby, just stare her down. But why, I wasn't
why drunk. Don't, why don't you explain to people what I did to you today?
Pretty girl in the car next to us all alone. I just looked over. And she's pretty. I'm like, oh, wow. And I wait, double take. Wow, pretty. Pointed out to Howard. Howard looked. And then as we begin to drive, Howard matches speed. He matches speed so that I can... I can know, and she can know, that we're right next to each other. And we just checked her out. And then Howard starts kind of, like, drumming. Like, fake drumming. Trying to get her attention. Trying to get her to look over. And basically, we do that for, like, a couple miles.
I only did this for so long because I knew it was making you so...
Then maybe, like... I went from being like, wow, she's pretty, to, oh, my God, I just want to cover my face. Or you know what? If I'd had a couple drinks in me, I would have been just fine. I would have just stared her down, be like, hey, roll the window down.
If you're fine with it, I would have driven off, like, a long time before.
Damn it.
But because it was making you so, like, you were agitated. You had to, like, close your eyes.
I had to close my eyes. I'm like, it's embarrassing, dude. I'm like, oh. And you know what? If she had been cool, it would have been different. But she was, like, straight ahead.
You know she saw us.
Oh, hell yeah, she did. Yeah, she did.
She saw everything.
I bet she's like, oh, my God, it's happening again. Oh, God, I'm too hot. Fuck. Fuck you, Mom. Fuck you. We should be just embracing the fact that she was gorgeous. Yeah.
That was fun, though. It was fun making you squirm for about 15 minutes.
I'm glad you had fun with that.
It was awesome.
15 minutes? Was it that long? Gee.
Anyway, Nevin, would you partake in this betting service? Would you bet
on your ability? No, I would never bet in gaming through a service. I'd bet on fucking with you guys. I might put $5 down with, like, you or other folk on something.
Would you put $5 down in Mario Tennis?
Yeah, I would.
After the terrible shellacking
I lost you because of Dennis. No offense, Dennis. But I gotta tell you, it was your fault.
All right, if you could pick a partner, who would you pick?
Chris Dante, are you kidding me? Who would I pick? If I could pick a partner in any video game.
Why would you break up Team Asian Flush like that?
Because if I could take anybody in the world for any video game competition, it would be Chris.
What about Eric Nair?
Never.
He plays at a highly competitive level.
Without necessarily the skill. Yes, very competitive.
You're a cruel man.
Excuse me, Chris is just awesome. You gave me the pick of the litter. I take Chris every fucking time.
Wow. Sorry, Brandon.
No, yeah, I'd take Chris.
You wouldn't even reform like Team Thrill.
Sorry, I would take Chris in any video game. Let me clarify. Any video game competition that involved any kind of monetary compensation. Chris. Wouldn't you?
Probably.
Yeah, everybody would. I would take Brandon for Mario Tennis. Maybe my second pick. I'd take me as my second pick, actually. I would take me versus two people as my second pick. Then I'd take Brandon. Yes, that's exactly... I'm going to get a beer. That's exactly how I fucking do it.
I'm going to get some water.
We're going to get water. I want to play Mario Tennis when we're done. Or Modern Warfare.
I encourage you to play some Modern Warfare.
You know what was fun? Was playing with my cousin Modern Warfare, because he's got everything fucking on.
Yeah.
He's like on fifth playthrough.
He really likes that game.
Well, he's really, really good at it. So interesting. Like, that's pinching.
Yeah.
That's how you really gotta go.
Like, can you get a really good throw that way?
Oh, yeah. Knuckled?
I can never... Whenever knuckled? I try to pinch, I never let go in time.
The knuckle of it all is you release it a little bit earlier and then flick. And you'll get a really great throw.
I should try that sometime. I pinch when I block.
You're fucking pinching.
I pinch when I block, I'll be honest with you.
Yes, I left-hand pinch. My left hand's actually stronger than my right. Have you noticed I pass the ball to my left hand when I'm blocking?
Yeah, is that because you jerk off with your right hand, so it's like a lighter touch?
No, it's because the left hand is your cat. Think about it when you play baseball. This hand's the hand you use to get the ball. This hand's the hand you use to throw it. When you're trying to play defense, you want the hand that's used to fucking grabbing the ball.
I don't play baseball, so...
Okay, well, when I played baseball, the left hand's the fucking catching
it. Is this before or after you got your head kicked in?
Before. I played baseball until I was, like, 14. But, yeah, I was like... And I tried it, and I'm like, damn, I'm better. I'm faster. My reaction is better. Right-handed? No. Also, left-handed, problem is when you're blocking, you want to put that hand forward.
Yeah.
Left hand is not your throwing hand, so you're in your right. You want when you throw your throwing arm to be behind the arm that's going to pivot. So I'm actually way better at throwing because I can actually pass the ball into the throw and throw.
See, I know I'm more dexterous with my right arm than my left arm.
I'm actually more dexterous with my left.
I can track things better with my right arm.
Way better with my left.
I'm also definitely stronger with my right arm.
Stronger with my left.
Also, grip. Also, my left index finger is busted, so...
My left grip is way better than my right.
Yeah.
My right throw, obviously, is way better than my left, because I can't actually throw with my left hand. I wish I was left-handed. I'd fucking do the whole thing left-handed if I could. All right. All right. Back.
All right. Well, okay. Would Chris Date help you play the Natal?
Yes. Are you kidding me? It's a video game. Yes.
All right. Nevin, speaking...
Is it a video game? Is the answer yes? Chris Date. Yes. Is it a game? Is it a game of chance? Yes, Chris Date. Right? Are you driving go-karts? Chris Date. Still will take Chris Date almost any given day, anybody else.
I really like the fact that every time you and I have gone go-karting...
Uh-huh. You just ran me.
I inevitably T-boned you.
God. Doing really now, well that one game.
To be fair, the first time I did it, it was on purpose. And I almost got kicked out of the go-kart arena.
Really?
Well, not the high-speed one, like a few years ago.
Oh, back in the day.
Yeah. Remember, like, you were, like, just stuck on a wall and I just drove into you at
full speed. I'm lost. I don't know where I'm going. What? Yeah.
But... When I did to you last time at Chris's bachelor party, that was completely by accident.
I got so fucking hurt in one of those accidents.
That was not me, though. I drove around
that
accident.
I think
that
may have been Eric. Yes. In front of me, or whatever. Whatever.
I skillfully dodged that accident. But the time that I did hit you was completely by accident. Because you spun out, like, in front of me all of a sudden, and then I just drove into
you. I played a very aggressive game. I played a very aggressive game. Yes. The time travel... When you're doing a time track, and everybody else on the track with you, it sucks. It sucks. I want to do it without people.
Next time.
Or just violence.
Yeah. All right. So the Natal. I showed you a video.
It could be great someday.
The reporter in the video says, quote, "You have to be okay with looking like a drunken maniac about to be arrested on cops."
Yeah.
Would you say that's an accurate description of what it's like to play the Natal?
Yeah, more or less. More or less.
Is it more or less embarrassing than playing a Wii game?
Better question is more or less fun. I don't know.
Okay. Does it look more or less fun than playing a Wii game?
Looks less fun.
Why do you think it looks less fun?
Because something about having a control in your hand is empowering. And when you take that away, you actually... It's a prop.
Uh-huh.
You've got a prop in front of you, and you're doing things with it. It's not you. It's the prop that's fucked up. If you fuck up, and that way you can laugh and joke, and it's fun. But if it's you trying to... hit a ball,
right?
And you don't. You just look like a goof. I don't really. You don't. Where are you going to point the Natal? Like, fuck that device,
right?
I don't know how to do it. Yeah, you do with your body. Like what?
So it's that level of abstraction that allows you to kind of dismiss it as not me.
It just, you know, there's just a little bit more magic that goes on in the controller environment. Uh-huh. I don't know. We've seen people play the Wii and. That the Donica video where she's like jerking off the fucking carrot thing. You know, there's a reason why that's fun, and she's having fun even though she knows what she's doing, and it's all like fun.
Right.
You do
but
that.
If she was just pantomiming
if
jerking
she was just
something
pantomiming
off,
jerking off and pointing a hose, it wouldn't no. I don't think she'd do it. I don't think anybody would do it. I think it'd just be like, no, I don't really want to play that game. Right?
Right. So I think that's probably something that designers should keep in mind when they're thinking about porting something from...
I'm trying to think of what the Natal could do that you would really want to do. RPGs. Be great for RPGs.
Just
for
but
motion...
wouldn't you just be like, walk in place?
No, I don't mean RPGs where it captures your motion. Uh-huh. Using your motion to as a controller.
I see, like, tapping
point,
boxes.
Point,
and,
go yeah. there, attack that guy with this.
Or like
that,
or like a, fucking, like an RTS, dude. Like
for RTS, yeah. There. I want that. No, pull. You when you took using motion instead of a controller as the controller is a great idea.
But when you're doing like one to one movement
is stupid because then you're actually directly correlating their ability to do something with their game.
You're exposing the physical infirmities of your audience,
and you don't want to do that. You want to go for something different.
There was recently the study of gamers, and it revealed something like that. Their reactions were on the level of like Olympians, but their physical bodies were like 60-year-old smokers.
Yeah,
on
that
average,
makes perfect sense.
Yeah, so perhaps instituting a system where you're requiring people to engage in constant physical activity.
Yeah, you know, if you did StarCraft on the Natal.
Yeah.
It would be amazing. it would be fantastic. I mean, I'm just trying to, or even like a Diablo kind of a game.
You know, where like they're set to auto attack and you just like point
auto at attack enemies. That. No, I want that. And just part of the appeal of an RPG for me, at least, and the things I don't like about RPGs is I gotta hit start and select and then go into a screen. Uh-huh. Blah, 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 blah. What if you could just be like, no, that on me and there and go there? It's just easier.
That'd be nice.
It could be squad based gameplay.
Mm-hmm.
Could be really good. Games that don't require precision but require a lot of strategy.
Uh-huh.
Great with an Atal. Great, because you're just point and click.
Yeah.
But games that require a lot of precision,
mm-hmm,
will become 1-to-1 games. Like tennis on the Atal would be horrible. Again, actually, tennis on the Atal would be probably great. Soccer on the Atal would be horrible. Tennis on the Atal would probably respond to actual tennis form and position, and that could be cool. That might work.
But then you got to move yourself around.
I don't know how they do it, but
it could work. Because the genius of Wii Tennis is that the characters just move towards the ball automatically, and then you swing.
Probably the same thing on the Atal, and then you swing. But much more degree of accuracy to the swing and control. And you know, like if you really made it respond to
I feel the problem with that, right, is that, like, you play tennis.
Sure.
Right? I used to play tennis. I haven't played, like, in a long time. If we were to go out on the court,
mm-hmm,
you would undoubtedly just wreck me. Right?
We should go play tennis.
Okay. All right. This is not
Nevin. With Chris.
This is not Nevin's
with Chris.
Self-esteem
Chris
would boosting
keep you,
hour.
Chris would keep you safe.
Anyway, the point is,
because Chris is really good.
If we play Wii Tennis, it's a fairly even playing field.
Sure.
Right?
It takes all the skill out.
If we played Natal Tennis, you would just crush me every single time.
You could probably adjust it so that the guy who hit it back with a different degrees of skill than what he actually hits it with. But again, the potential of Natal for me, I see it as strategy games, thinking games. Games that require thinking and less instant knee-jerk reaction.
It seems to me like it would almost...
It's Minority Report.
Yeah. It's the Minority Report screen.
I think of all the games you could... If you took the iPhone screen and you made it 10 feet tall, think of what you could do with that for gaming.
Yeah.
It'd be fantastic. The ability to just drag and move
and
push.
Click things.
It's all just, what do I want to do? If it really, really, really responded to what you wanted to do, it'd be fantastic.
Well, I guess we'll find out at E3.
Pretty sure it'll be piss poor.
Yeah.
It'll be by Microsoft.
Well, speaking of piss poor things to be revealed at E3.
Sure.
Tonight we watched the trailer for the XCOM first-person shooter.
XCOM's been murdered.
Why don't you tell...
The baby's been knifed.
Why don't you tell our audience what that trailer
is? It's just a first-person shooter for XCOM set in the 1950s, and XCOM is about, you know, the joy of XCOM when I was a boy playing XCOM in, like, the early 90s.
Uh-huh.
Set in 1999. The future... But not that far in the future.
Remember there was that Space 1999?
No. But is Space Above and Beyond?
No, there's also Space 1999.
Oh, no. Anyway. XCOM was fucking futuristic. It was in the future, and stuff was happening, and aliens were coming in, and you were in charge of an organization that was basically like UN.
Uh-huh.
The UN chartered organization to fight aliens, mm-hmm, and you do it. It was great. It was absolutely brilliant. And so they decided to take everything that made XCOM,
uh-huh,
and throw it out.
But they have aliens.
They don't even have aliens, right?
They have these weird blob creatures. They're like aliens.
They don't even look like aliens. It looks like, to me, my knee-jerk reaction was Left 4 Dead aliens in the 50s. So you've got a revolver and a shotgun and some, like, alien laser gun.
Uh-huh. Molotov cocktail.
Molotov cocktail grenade thingy. But you're fucking, like, you know, from the 1950s.
I don't know. Left 4 Dead Alien sounds kind of rad.
Left 4 Dead Alien would be really cool if it was XCOM, actually.
Uh-huh.
If it was, you're the squad, you're the XCOM squad,
uh-huh,
and you're in the, you know, it's 19, probably 1999 anymore.
It's 1999.
It's 2025, and you've got, you know, your plasma rifle, and your laser pistol, and your
shotgun.
Your timed grenade. You know, like, oh, you know, like, if it actually taken XCOM,
uh-huh,
and aged it up and modernized it and then made it a squad-based shooter game,
uh-huh,
I could see that being really great. I could see it if it was an homage, and then when you came out of the mission, you then teched up, and if you captured aliens versus killed them, you could do different research. The thing about XCOM that made it great was you didn't just go in and kill aliens. You then researched technology, uh-huh. built new weapons, built new bases, and uh-huh. managed base building. Basically, you'd build bases all over the world and make them either research facilities or manufacturing facilities or interception bases or radar zones, whatever. But you had this beyond the combat game.
Mm-hmm.
Take a first-person shooter in the 50s where you're fucking Joe... You're the neighborhood watch. That's really what the game looks like. Yeah. I am the neighborhood watch. I guess there's an alien in my bedroom. Now I'm going to go up there and shoot it. And that's the game. Fuck it. Fucking hope it flops. Fuck these guys. It's like Spielberg, and it's actually like Lucas, killing my childhood twice.
With Star Wars and Indiana Jones?
Uh-huh.
I will say this about Indiana. I think this will be my final word for this week. New Indiana Jones. Kind of terrible.
Uh-huh.
If he had made the exact same movie, everything, and just replaced Mutt Williams with Short Round, it probably would have been great. The fucking greatest movie of all time. It
probably would have been great, right?
I would have been like, Short Round, it's swinging like a monkey through the jungle.
Kind of cool. I got, you're right, awesome, right?
You would have been like, Indy, you my best friend, Indy.
That'd be kind of great.
No time for love, Dr. Jones. We have to go see Alien. Yes.
I think it probably would have been great.
All right. So I want everyone to think about that.
Yep.
And write a letter to George Lucas saying, please bring back Short Round for the next Indiana Jones because they are going to make another one.
They should make another
one. That's not even speculation. But they said they're making another
one. But they should kill Lucas before that.
Or bring back Short Round.
Both. Why not both?
Because I kind of like the Clone Wars cartoon.
But that's not Lucas. That's some guy that Lucas hired and forgot about. Come on. Seriously? If it's any good, Lucas forgot about it. He did.
Do you wonder if, like, if we just set him in a time machine right now, we're like, go make Star Wars 1, or I guess Episode 4.
Right.
Would it be any good?
No.
Would it just be full of, like...
You can see the hints in Episode 1.
More terrible Muppets.
It's weird that I can tell where he's going.
Yeah.
I can tell. I've watched it recently. I'm like, I can see he's going for camp. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, well, I mean, the whole thing is it's like an homage to those old, like, Saturday morning serials. That's why there's all those wipes. That's why every transition is a wipe.
But it plays as just... You know what it is? The actors play it.
Yeah.
Serious.
Oh, yeah.
They are committed. They are confused. They don't realize it's a joke.
Here's the other thing, is that they're actually interacting with each other on sets with things that they can see, as opposed to just, like, hanging out in front of a green screen.
That, too.
But you can tell the sadness is about to be born in Return of the Jedi. And I know I've probably ranted about this before, but fuck the Ewoks. Fuck the Ewoks. Okay? And I'm going to say this. I love the Ewoks as an independent entity. Wicket, Low Gray, love them all.
Okay? Sure.
When I was a kid, had a little stuffed Ewok. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
The only reason you know that they're called Ewoks is because of the Lucas merchandising machine. At no point in Return of the Jedi does any English-speaking character refer to them as an Ewok.
Why do I care?
Because bullshit. That means they're only in there to sell you shit. And that's the moment at which his artistic integrity is compromised.
I'm pretty sure
the original ending for... Return of the Jedi / Revenge of the Jedi was supposed to take place on the planet Kishik, the homeworld of the Wookiees. Okay? Which is why it was a big deal when we finally got the Battle of Kishik in fucking Revenge of the Sith.
And it kind of sucked.
Right? But I want you to imagine Revenge of the Jedi. I want you to imagine a world where it took place on the planet Kishik. Right? There's like 200 Chewbaccas running around.
Yeah, we're better.
Fighting stormtroopers, ripping their arms off. Right.
The
AT-AT comes through, or the ATSC comes through, right? Fucking murders Chewbacca's wife or something, right? Chewbacca's cradling her body.
Yeah, it would have been great,
right? Been awesome. And instead, you had the fucking teddy bear picnic, okay? And the reason you had the teddy bear picnic is because George Lucas wanted you to buy one.
But you know what? Made a lot of money that his wife took righteously in the divorce.
And that, my friends, is why we have Jar Jar Binks.
No one bought Jar Jar Binks.
You're supposed to.
We were supposed to.
Jar Jar Binks was supposed to be the new Ewoks. And you think about that, and you let that keep you up at night.
All right, folks.
And we're out.
I think we're done.
We'll see you next week.
Peace out, yo.